the place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we stay in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the lines, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism, good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they were talking about what we did earlier that morning, all day. Mm. That's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
How?
My son was just hollering, awesome. We're Tori. Like,
I wanted to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cup. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm, stay focused.
Now, live from the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
White people are gonna cry.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up. It's Tori Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tori Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. 101.7 The Truth. Tori Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. And I'm here for the action
and nothing but that action.
And I want all the smoke.
Who wants the smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
Hey, salute. Thank y'all for joining me this October 30th of 2025. Who we got in the chat? Who's in the chat? Maurice, Kawanda, Willie. I see you, Willie. Jeff, Josh, Terrence, Anita, Essie in the chat, and Sincere Ronnie Ray Real in the chat. Salute, salute to everybody that joined the show out there in Radio Land, Truth Nation. I'll tell you this, you know, we got a lot to cover on the show on this Thursday. We also got Senator LaTanya Johnson
at the 2 p.m. mark. Senator LaTanya Johnson, she'll be calling in today. They got something that she wants the community to know about. I think it got a lot to do with the reckless driving that's going on. We're going to try to tap in with her at 2 p.m. But I want to get into the show. I want to get into this. I don't want to waste no time today. I want to jump right into the show. This is something that I've seen circling on the internet. Let me see. Hold on. Let me get this story together. Because I saw this, and I want to make sure I got the details to it. And I saw that a lot of people are getting upset from seeing this over in Illinois. At first, they were upset when this happened. They were highly upset. And now we're seeing that there is some justice coming out of this situation. Sean Grayson, he just had a trial, the former Illinois deputy. They found the deputy guilty of second-degree murder in the fatal shooting of Sonya Massey. They found him guilty. And we saw the tape where he came to her house. It's video of this. We watched this video. And he shot her, you know, in the house. And now he's guilty. He's found guilty of second degree. We all know it was first degree. Mo the Elephant said it was supposed to be first degree, but hey, sometimes you just got to be happy that something took place. You know, I think that now at this point, we have seen so many different outcomes. And, you know, a lot of times we expect the highest punishment possible. But at this point, I'm just like, okay, we got something. We got something out the deal. Because they letting some of these folks walk away scot-free. We got some video on this if you're watching as we broadcast live on YouTube. Let's listen.
WLS is reporting there is a verdict in the Sonya Massey police shooting trial in Illinois. A jury has just found former deputy Sean Grayson guilty of second-degree murder for shooting and killing Massey in her kitchen after she called 911 to report a possible intruder in her home. You will remember this body cam video. It's very disturbing. It shows Deputy Grayson opening fire while she was holding a pot of boiling water. Grayson saying he feared for his life this moment. Jury deliberations began yesterday. Grayson has pleaded not guilty, testifying in his own defense. Let's get right to our Matt Rivers. He's there at the courthouse. Matt, what can you tell us?
Yeah, so this just happened. Very tense scenes, of course, inside this courtroom. A trial playing out really in front of the eyes of the country. Everyone waiting to see what this verdict would be. Coming down as guilty on a second-degree murder charge. The jury was charged by the judge to consider both a first-degree murder charge and a second-degree murder charge. They chose not to convict Sean Grayson on that first-degree charge, instead giving him a conviction on that second-degree murder charge. That carries a typical sentence between 4 and 20 years. But that's very different than the sentence that would have come down were a conviction to be had on the first-degree murder charge, which faced a minimum of 45 years to life. So the sentencing, very, very different between these two charges. So prosecutors getting their conviction here, but not getting the first-degree charge that many family members of Sonya Massey were certainly hoping to hear. We are going to hear from both the prosecutors and representatives of Massey's family at a press conference here shortly. No doubt they're going to be, at least members of the family, disappointed to some degree that first-degree murder charge was not to be had.
And this coming from our WLS reporter that was in the courtroom, that the courtroom was very silent as the verdict was read. It was quick. Sean Grayson showed very little emotion. He stood stoically and made no comments. After the verdict was read, he held his hands out. He was handcuffed and he walked away.
Hey.
Let's bring in our defense attorney.
Look,
and
let me tell you this. I'm going to say this. That's enough. That's good. We got the point. The thing is, when you talk about these kind of cases, and blacks being harmed in this way. And sometimes we get outcomes where, you know, we want more to happen. And then sometimes we do get severe charges, you know. So it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. And we just got to be, you know, let's just happy. I ain't saying just settle for anything, but some folks ain't getting nothing. You know what I mean? Some folks ain't getting nothing. And so I've seen folks walk away. Joel Acevedo, right here in the city of Milwaukee, where the officer walked away scot-free. So it's just the little things that we got to say, okay, we got this one. The next time we're going to try to maneuver a little different and see if we can get the max. But at this point, I'm just like, okay, we got something here. He didn't just walk away scot-free. Let's be thankful that he didn't walk away scot-free. Because don't forget Justin Blake. That officer, he got found not guilty or whatever they did through the investigation, and he walking around here still writing tickets. Can you imagine one of these officers who didn't kill somebody and they was highly publicized, and next thing you know, they write you a parking ticket, they still on the job? That's worse than seeing Freddy Krueger in the nightmare. I'm trying to tell you. So, hey, I'll take the second degree. I want the first degree, but he didn't walk away scot-free. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of Truth to Power is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Seven the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Okay, I got to talk about this too, because for all of y'all that do fantasy football and DraftKings and all of that, I guess Wisconsin is starting to get into the online sports betting game, and it could be legalized, or is it legalized? I guess they passing a bill. It's getting close to being legalized in the state of Wisconsin, online betting, sports betting. We got an article. We got some audio on this. Let's listen.
Yeah, right now the state constitution only allows sports betting on tribal lands. So that's places like the Potawatomi Casino. But that essentially provides a loophole for that.
As I'm sure gambling knows no political line.
Wisconsin could score big for sports bettors.
It's actually going to make it easier to regulate.
State lawmakers introduced a bill that would loosen the restrictions on legal sports betting in the state.
It legalizes online betting, which is currently going on now, but illegally.
Under the state's current constitution, betting is only allowed on tribal lands. This proposal, introduced last week, proposes a framework to get around that.
I could be sitting in my house, placing a bet online, as long as that server is on tribal land and it's going through that server, through the tribes, then it's legal.
State Representative Christine Sinicky, a Democrat, and Republican State Representative Robert Witke are among the bipartisan group that co-sponsored the bill.
The states around us already have this in place.
The bill essentially provides a framework for what's called a hub-and-spoke model, replicating the one created in Florida, which was challenged but upheld by the courts years ago.
Millions of gambling bets into a legal system now that's run up by the tribes.
Both lawmakers call it a win-win.
It's a win for the tribes. They're going to get a little more money out of it. And because they're going to get a little more money out of it, our percentage from the tribes that we get in gambling is, you know, the state will get a little more money out of it.
All right, there we go. Online sports betting, long as the server is on tribal land, long as the bet is being processed through the tribal land. You know, I got an opinion on sports betting, but my grandma told me not to gamble. But with today's economy, a lot of people think that gambling is almost like trying to win the lottery, you know, and it's an addiction. You know, sometimes people, you know, they get a little taste of a win, like they might get a little win, but then their losses and the wins ain't adding up. But I'm gonna tell you, you know, I thought that, you know, if they started, you know, opening up the sports betting, you know, I mean, I might go do a parlay now. You know, I might do Jordan Love, one on the wide receiver. You know, I'm gonna keep all my parlays within the Packers. You know, if I do one, you know, somebody said that it's tough to win a parlay though. Andrew, have you ever tried to do a parlay?
Have come you on, ever parlay? Tori, you know I have.
Okay, so what did you come out with? Did you ever win?
My biggest win, Super Bowl. Tampa Bay wins it. I had Tampa Bay winning, Brady winning the Super Bowl MVP, Gronk 2.5 plus touchdowns, put in a couple bucks, got $2,500.
$2,500?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know your boy GP, he gambles a lot.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to need to talk to GP because I need to see, like, when you talk about parlaying things, you know, you can do some parlays, but you can spend, what, less is what, $20? $20 on a parlay, yeah.
So you can put, you know, $20 down and you go Packers win, Jordan Love touchdown, Micah Parsons sack.
Right.
Make some money.
It sounds simple.
It's not that simple, right. But it is simple.
Well, here we go.
Never forget, the house always wins, Tori.
Well, I'm surprised that they let this online gambling go before they legalize cannabis. I mean, you would think that they would, if they wanted a little bit more money like she was talking about, how come they haven't legalized cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? Why has that been a struggle?
I have a theory.
We had the assembly member in here. Madison was in here talking about how he's trying to get the legalization of marijuana. What's your theory, Andrew? Why do you think they haven't legalized marijuana in the state of Wisconsin? Cannabis, I think that's what they call it.
Cannabis, yeah. Well, you know, gambling, I think, is Rainbow Coalition. You know what I mean? Whereas I think cannabis only attacks one group of people. You know what I'm saying?
Blacks. So you saying that since it's something that's concerning blacks, it's a struggle.
But gambling, you said it, not me.
Gambling is more widespread, and you know, and the people that own the reservation can get a little bit more cash. Wisconsin can get a little bit more cash. But when it comes to the legalization of cannabis. You're gonna have to pardon some brothers. You're gonna have to issue some pardons. You can't just all of a sudden say it's cool to sell the weed and not pardon the brothers that went to jail from nonviolent drug offenses selling the weed. I think that's the huge controversy in the slow up because it has largely affected the black community.
Preach, Tory.
But I think that the way that they did the Native Americans, the Indians, they gave them the lockdown on gambling, like where they control the gambling. We need a treaty on the weed. Black people need to make sure that when they do legalize the weed, that we get some out of it. That's what I believe. If they can put a corner on the gambling, how come we can't put a corner on the weed? You know, that if the weed come here, so much of this revenue got to go through, you know, the black community because it was damaged the most with mass incarceration through non-violent drug offenses. This is what should happen. I don't understand how you can legalize this gambling thing, put a fast track on that, but then we got to sit down and have a huge discussion on the weed. And I don't even smoke weed. I don't even smoke weed, but I would love to have some of the profits that I'm seeing people get from the weed and how they're using the extra money in the, you know, in the cities and stuff like that to do programming. I mean, if other people are trying to do it and they're capitalizing off the tax ideas from it, why can't we do it? And let the brothers have a break. I mean, they would almost have to kind of give black people some kind of leverage if they talking about legalizing marijuana. At least in the state of Wisconsin. At least in the state of Wisconsin. I'm just saying. I'm going to try to be at the meeting. I'm going to try to be at the meeting. If they ever have the session on legalizing cannabis, because if they can get the sports betting, the online betting off the ground and you know, make a few tweaks, what they said, they made a little tweet. They tweaked it. They was happy about it. It was a win for everybody. I think legalizing cannabis is a win for everybody. I know all of my friends. I'm sometimes the only one in the room that's not smoking weed. I'm getting the secondhand contact, you know. I mean, hey, I feel good, you know, a little bit. You know, but what I'm saying is sometimes when I'm in rooms and having fun, they be like, you don't smoke weed? And I'm, no. Like, I'm the eyeball. So, hey, you might as well legalize it. Okay, well, when we are we going to run the break? We got to run the break? Oh, we got time? Okay, well, I want to talk about this since we got time. Wisconsin voters, they're saying that they're undecided. They're undecided in the governor's race. And a bunch of people started popping up within this governor's race. Hey, it's wide open. Governor Evers said he ain't running again. So everybody trying to throw their hat in the wind. And I guess due to an early poll that's showing that, hey, a lot of people ain't trying to say who they trying to go for right now. So I think that we need to have these people, you know, come to the front of the congregation. I think the road to the governor's seat going to go through the Tory Lowe show. I think that they're going to have to come right here and speak their piece.
Pow!
Right here on the Tory Lowe show. Because if you coming through Milwaukee, they may try to avoid the Tory Lowe show. Because sometimes they get them softball scripted questions. I don't do the scripted questions. I don't do the scripted questions. But we got any audio on the undecisiveness of the governor's race, Andrew? Do we got anything on that? They saying that a lot of people ain't really decided. It's a wide open race right now, and it's down the line. It's next year. The governor's race is next year. Do we got any audio on the undecidedness of the people? All right, well, we're going to run the break, and when we come back, we'll have more discussion. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
One on one, seven the truth, Tory Lowe show. I want to talk about this SNAP benefits because here we go. They always try to make it seem like it's one area that's being affected, but it's a lot of people across the United States that's going to be affected due to these SNAP benefits. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people. I saw a video where a woman in Detroit, a farmer was gathering her food. She's a farmer. She grows food. And she was out here trying to help people get through what they anticipate to happen, which is a lack of food. But I think this is what, out of Sheboygan? This is something that's going on in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where people are concerned as well. We got video, if you're watching as we broadcast live. Let's listen.
Supposed to be able to get in is with a gray key fob.
Now, I don't have hardly anything in my refrigerator.
Just a few items to keep Sarah Euler's stomach from growling.
I reached out to you guys because the government shut down.
Sarah has relied on the SNAP food assistance program for the last 2 years. The recent announcement that money wouldn't be coming in the next month sent her in a tailspin.
During this time, deposits are temporary unavailable.
With only 71 cents left in her SNAP account, she's left wondering,
how will I survive the month of November?
Sarah is one of over 12,000 people in Sheboygan County who depend on SNAP benefits. Over half of those are children, according to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
There's a lot of food pantries who are running out of donations.
Local nonprofits and food pantries in the area are preparing for the influx of people. but they need the community's help. Most run strictly on donations. The Sheboygan County Food Bank is asking for help with cereal, canned tuna, pasta, and pasta sauce. For now, people like Sarah can only hope for better news.
I'm crossing my fingers that it will open in December, the government.
All right. See, it's a lot of people that need these benefits. And when we talk about what to do, and salute to Feeding America for coming through to give us a little bit more information on things that we can do during this time, during this uncertainty. But I'll say this, you know, as we move into November, we got, what, 2 days into November 1st? I think that we're going to have to keep an eye on what's going on with the federal government, because I think that they're trying to see if they can come together. I didn't see anything. I sent you a video, Andrew, about the Democrats' demands, and a lot of times when both sides are blaming each other for things, many times one of the Speaker of the House will say, okay, this is why this is not happening. And then, you know, the donkey gang will come out and say, this is why this is not happening. But they got money, both sides. They got their money. They getting their checks. On Friday, they not going to miss their check. But when you talk about poor people or people that need assistance, you know, this is why I say don't become a bot during this time. Don't become a bot. Understand that people's lives are being played with when it comes to politics. I think that we have to, as a whole, as a country, we got to get back to electing people that understands the plight of the people that they're trying to serve. I think we got into the celebrity version of politics. I think that we want our politician to be a celebrity and not a servant. So I think this is just an overall overhaul that we got to do. And I'm talking about everybody, black, white, Hispanic. I think we got to start electing people that's boots on the ground. I think that now it's like we almost want our political ideas to be celebrities. Walk around, look nice, got a suit on with a big smile. We can't tell what they done did for us. But at this point, I think we got to hit the reset button. I think we got to hit a reset button all across the board. I'm talking about from the federal down to the local. We got to start getting in people that's willing to roll up their sleeves and fight for their constituents no matter what position they have. I think the people got to take some responsibility on this, because they keep voting for the same people over and over again. And then when something go left, they get delusional and try to talk about the other side. They get delusional. They want to say, oh, it ain't my side that's causing the problem. But when you take the magnifying glass and really start doing your research, you'll see that political has become a huge problem in America. And it's power to the people. And when the people start taking the power back, that's when things gonna change. I think we gave a lot of these political figures the power. I think we wanted them to have the leadership. We kind of romanticized about them getting in the office and making great change. But that's over with. We are hitting a harsh reality now with housing, with the SNAP benefits, with the taxing. We're hitting a harsh reality now that we may have did the wrong thing in the last two decades. We may have made choices that didn't benefit us in the long run. We have to look in the mirror and be like, we may have caused a lot of this. We may have given these people a pass because we like the way that they came to us during the election. We like that powerful speech. Everybody want their leader to have this big Martin Luther King speech. But it don't come with a broom. Servants come with brooms. They got to sweep. Sometimes you got to sweep up the trash. I was going to say something.
Say it.
Well, I'll say it. The servants come with a broomstick to sweep up the trash. But now some of these politicians are just trash. Hey, It's sad. It's sad. But I also want to talk about tenants in Bronzeville apartment fear for safety amid ongoing security issues. Now, Bronzeville is where I was born and raised. I was born and raised in Bronzeville. Grandma's house on 5th and North Avenue was where I was raised. So when I saw this story, I may have to go over there and see what's happening. Tenants in Bronzeville, right here around the Bronzeville area where they just have the Bronzeville Festival, they saying that they fear safety, for the safety. We got some video on this if you're watching as we broadcast live. Let's listen.
Front door is supposed to be locked at all times. The only way you're supposed to be able to get in is when it is with a gray key fob. This door, this is one of the reasons that I've contacted you guys for help, and this is one of the reasons I'm scared.
Isis Cheney has lived at Grio Apartments in the Bronzeville neighborhood for 2 years.
Once again, just wide open.
She says that lack of security has resulted in non-residents sleeping in the hallways,
oh, wow,
camping out during the day, and smoking in the stairwell.
I moved here 2 years ago with my four children because I'm running from a domestic situation. So that's why I moved here with my kids. It was safe. It was secure. Now it's not.
Other residents who didn't want to show their faces on camera for fear of retaliation say they, too, are fed up. Pictures over the last several years show trash piling up outside, damaged furniture inside, a broken elevator, and cars broken into in a lot that's supposed to be secure.
I don't care. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired. We shouldn't live like this.
Isis showed me her emails to team management, which manages Grio Apartments. I went to talk with the property manager Wednesday to get some answers.
We were contacted by Grio tenants saying that there are massive security issues.
Someone else in management called me and said they'd answer my questions. However, my email, full of questions, went unanswered. Instead, I was sent this statement that says, in part, we are currently working to address building and parking lot security concerns.
We just need some type of help.
Oh, wow. Salute to Generate TMJ4 for that report. And this is why I say, like, this is where if they got to go to the news, it's bad. All right. I've seen in 2025, when housing issues come up, instead of calling a local alderman, who's that, Cox over there? That's Cox. Different districts, when they got to reach out to the news, that means that everything else has failed. They have reached out to everybody. Trust me, these residents, they trying to get help however they can get it. So when they go to, if Jenna Ray got to show up, that's the first sign that folks ain't calling back and picking up the phone, but they always want to court you for the vote. They ain't not about that action. Because if I was the alderman in that district, I would have went over there. And I would have told the property owners, you got to have this straight, or I'm gonna put every resource I can over here, you know, to try to resolve this issue. Ain't no way you're supposed to be scared and living in fear and trash falling all over the place and folks smoking dope, smoking weed in the hallway and kids around. They got the video. They got the video, and homeless people laying around an apartment building, and you got kids, that could end up in a crazy situation. So salute to the residents that's been speaking out, because the elders been speaking out this year. I'm telling y'all, if y'all go in the voting booth and vote the same way, don't call me in 2026. If y'all not going to change nothing with some of this leadership that's going on, if y'all content with the way it is, continue to keep putting the same people in play, because that they shouldn't have never had to go to the news. It seemed like you got to go to the news now to get some help. Trash. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show, Pop Culture Report. Hey, look, has hip-hop taken a fall? I'll say that, because I don't believe hip-hop is dead. I can't say that. I mean, I think that they're trying to put the extinguisher on it because, you know, the people, the powers that be that's choosing the artist, that's marketing the artist and doing all of that, I think that that's the mainstream operative. But if you look on social media, if you look on what's driving the culture, what's driving the trends, it definitely ain't Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber who own the what position Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber on the charts? What?
They own 5 of the top 10 spots.
Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift own 5 of the top 10 spots. They not changing the culture. Matter of fact, they culture vultures to a certain degree. They taken from the culture and made their music. So what I'm saying is hip-hop is always going to be the influence. Rap, any version of it, hip-hop, gangster rap, whatever, is all anything coming from the street is where they're going to control the fashion, the culture, you know, what we driving. They're going to, you know, they use us as a source of inspiration, I would say. Hip-hop is a source of inspiration. But we got Brian on the lines. How you doing, Brian?
Oh, doing good. I just want to chime in on that. I think that there's no area for rappers at this point because nobody's making any good music. The rappers that are here now, they're probably making their money on social media and what have you. But you know, these big clearing houses for music, like there used to be, like an Interscope, they're not recruiting guys like that anymore because, for one, they don't have the talent of our past entertainers had. They don't have the talent of a 50 Cent. They don't have the talent of a Jay-Z. The new people coming up are talentless.
Mm.
They're just doing a bunch of screaming and acting dysfunctional. Okay, that's not the narrative anymore. They got the narrative that they jailed as many black folks as they could from gangster rap, and now there's no. The trend is not for just mass incarceration of black folks. It's basically just hands off. So that's why you're not getting anybody getting behind rap anymore, because first of all, the black community has turned against gangster rap. It's real rap. We turned against it. That's why there's nobody pushing it anymore. So The guys that are out here are just doing this stuff independently. That music you just played by NBA Youngboy, that's probably a niche few people that like that. But that music, if you just listen to that, that is complete trash. Now, black young youth today, if they're following people like that, they're complete trash. That music is just plain trash. There's no beat to it. There's no lyric to it. There's nothing that sounds good about anything NBA Youngboy does. In fact, he made basketball and he made football less manly because they're doing them silly dances that he came up with. That one song that dance that Ja does and that dance that Travis Hunter does. I mean, his music, you know, is just cheapened the sport.
Mm. Oh wow.
Yeah, there's nobody getting behind these rappers now because they're trash, period. And this is just constructive criticism. You need to be called out for what it is. It's trash. It sounds like nothing.
Hey, I say this. There is a pushback on the drill style because of violence, the rape, the homicides, and things like that. I think that people have started to say, hey, look, this ain't that. I mean, a lot of radio stations, they don't play it. You know, it's like they can't get to the commercial success anymore because now we have an issue with a high violence. People are asking for the government to get involved and calm down a lot of these communities. A lot of people want peace in their neighborhoods, and a lot of people feel like the rap was driving a lot of the violence, a lot of the violent culture, you know, spin the block. And like I said, violence have been a part of the American culture since forever, you know. But when we talk about influencing young people, there's no other culture of music that influences the youth more than hip hop, rap, gangster rap, drill. A lot of that stuff these kids listen to, it becomes extremely popular, and then they start to take on some of the attributes as well. And I think that it was something I read where the CIA would use music to go in and infiltrate different cultures. You know, they would pay artists to come in and use a form of music to weaponize the music to change the culture. And I think that even now, a lot of the music has been weaponized against the black community. I remember when I was living in Iowa and I would come home to Milwaukee and I would listen to the different radio stations on my way to Milwaukee. I knew when I got to Milwaukee, when the music started becoming extremely harsh or aggressive or over sexual, like that doesn't play in other townships like that, in other communities other than the urban where the black people gather. That's when you start hearing aggressive content or like, you know, provocative type music to where, you know, you got to turn it down if you got kids in the car. I remember having my son in the car and I was listening to the radio and I remember having to turn the radio down. Just public radio. So now with this drill music, I mean, with this NBA young boy, I mean, I'm not saying that he's responsible for what the culture is. I think that now everybody's just kind of adding to some of the climate. They, you know, they're adding on to the climate. But at the same time, a lot of people, like Brian said, are pushing back against a lot of the hardcore, homicidal, murder, kill type culture. We didn't lost a lot of loved ones, so I think that here we go. 7551 says she like NBA YoungBoy. She said I disagree. He's dope lyrically, his style. I mean, she 7551. She said NBA YoungBoy is her favorite artist, or his favorite artist. The name could be male or female. So.
Sounds like you have a young audience, Tori.
Well, it's okay. You know, at the end of the day, when we talk about the culture, even when I was coming up, a lot of the olders, they didn't like Snoop Dogg. Matter of fact, the church stood up against Snoop Dogg and NWA, and they was trying to destroy their CD, saying it was poison. But I think that was that Crazy Bone? Crazy Bone or Lazy Bone or one of them bones, they came out and said that the prison industry started investing in rap music and they started having meetings because now a lot of these songs, a lot of these record companies were being funded by the private prison industry. This is what they were saying. And then now a lot of albums sound like an advertisement to go to jail. That's what if you listen to the lyrics, it sounds like if you do some of this stuff that they talk about. No, don't do the rabbit hole on this, because a lot of lyrics are jail lyrics. Like if you're going to commit crimes, if you're going to spend a block on somebody, or if you're going to scam somebody, or you're talking about selling drugs, you're going to end up in jail. This is something that is pushing jail culture. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's not even a rabbit hole. That's not even a rabbit hole. That's you're going to go to jail. Like I heard somebody album the other day and I was like, I hope my son don't ever believe this crap. Because he going to be in jail and don't call me. Don't call me if you go to jail. I don't teach that. Unless it's righteous. Unless you go to jail for righteous reasons, don't call me. When we come back, we'll have more discussion, Truth Nation. We got the state senator calling in too as well in the next upcoming hour. Truth Nation, stay locked in right here on Twitter.